Welcome, Bix Weir.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Great to have you. And, you know, people just can't seem to get their minds around the idea of this cipher revolution we're having. They want to try to compare it to email circa 1995, the internet circa 1998-99. What stage of this revolution do you see?
Well, I think obviously we're in the very, very beginning stages because most people are not involved. Email is a decent comparison. Internet's a decent comparison. But all of that revolved around the continuation of the old corrupt monetary system. The monetary system is the lifeblood of any business economy, you name it, on planet Earth for the past, you know, hundreds of years. So this is a much, 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 much bigger thing. But it is also Bitcoin, the cryptocurrencies, the blockchain. It's much more than just a currency. It can do more than replace money. It can replace all sorts of costly functions that we employ in any business these days. The banks are drooling on the blockchain because they can cut out 30-40% of their costs. It is an amazing revolution that's happening, that if anybody takes a just slightly bigger picture look at things, can see that it does feel like the internet in 1990. It feels like the very beginning days of email, when people like Katie Couric were saying, who could send mail? Who wants to get mail on the internet when you have a post office box? We're getting those kinds of comments from people who are supposed to know what they're talking about. They're calling Bitcoin, they're calling it a scam, they're calling it a bubble. It's all normal and part of something that's just beginning, but it's going to be so big, it's going to blow out anything that humanity has ever seen as far as innovation.
My latest trek or endeavor into this space involves crypto collectibles. And at first, I just cringed. I couldn't even stand the thought of another Beanie Baby. The more you look into this, the more you start to realize that there is a potentially multi-billion dollar industry that's just growing out of, I don't know if it's really demand or the need for it. It seems to be more the technology that's driving this whole new collectibles, crypto assets. Because assets is something I think that most people can get a little more excited about. The one that caught collectors' attention was CryptoKitties. And I know this audience is just thinking, you've gone off the deep end. What is our host talking about here? CryptoKitties? If you can ignore the moniker for a minute and just look at the technology, the idea is profound. You have this game, if you will, where you can breed these different crypto-related cats on the Solidity language. Each of these individual contracts has its own DNA, its own probability factors and whatnot. And where it really took off and led to a $250,000 individual creature, it's just like the Tulip Mania, certain characteristics that were in high demand. As that grew and grew, it created its own sort of supply-demand that led this whole thing off the charts to a multi-million dollar industry. I'd like your thoughts on whether or not this is the beginning of a crypto asset revolution, or was that just a flash in the pan?
I think it's a little of both. The crypto kitty part of it, yeah, it is a lot like the Beanie Baby stuff, but the technology behind it was what was really intriguing, and it can be applied to so many other things. It's basically using the blockchain to do various things, such as a proof of ownership, proof of creation, the division of ownership, a timestamp that you can absolutely nail down who created this thing, when and where. It's the ultimate certification. There's all kinds of things associated, and it just happened to be linked to CryptoKitty, which, you know, is a Beanie Baby type of fad thing that will go away, obviously. But, and then everybody got locked into it because it was going up in price and people chased price. But when you look behind it, it really does have an amazing use case for the blockchain, because the blockchain is immutable. You can't change it, and it has a timestamp. You can attach things to it that can prove things. That's the key to the blockchain. It's a truth machine, and it's a proof machine. So you can say, I own this specific asset. where I created this piece of artwork at this time, at this moment, kiss all the necessary certifications for copyright and all that right out the window, because you have something that can prove that you were the first one to bring this into existence, certify ownership. It's really an amazing concept. The CryptoKitty part is kind of a separate thing. That is a bubbly Beanie Baby type of phenomenon, but the thing behind it is the use of the blockchain in that type of environment.
On the show, The Kaiser Report, Max and Stacy point out one of the biggest wrong turns early on was that the developers, decided to call it Bitcoin, ICOs, initial coin offering, as though they were tempting regulators. Because in reality, it's not a coin. It does have fungibility aspects of a coin. Maybe that's a good segue into the next topic here on this. I'm calling it a digital collectibles mania. It's a little unfortunate that it had to start with CryptoKitties. Why couldn't it have started off with crypto coins like crypto numismatics, crypto AI? This idea of fungibility. We have these ERC protocols. Most people by now have heard of the ERC-20, and that's the typical fungible, meaning exchangeable. So let's backtrack a little bit, circle around, and talk about fungibility. We all know that a dollar is exchangeable for a dollar. That's fungible. A Bitcoin, one Satoshi of a Bitcoin is exchangeable for another Bitcoin Satoshi. And with Ethereum, I think it's called a WEI, although I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, WEI. That's the smallest increment of an Ethereum. Well, it is also fungible, meaning exchangeable. This unbelievable individual by the name of Vitalik Buterin, Russian-born Canadian, I believe. And just a little side note here, to give people an idea of the type of minds behind this revolution, which I actually believe will eventually be revealed, there are AIs, sentient AIs involved. Vitalik Buterin's IQ actually tested to be as high as 256. So ERC-20, this is just the protocol of fungibility. This brilliant individual came up with another protocol, ERC-721, and there are many others. This is the non-fungible protocol, if you will, or algorithm that just simply allows us to trade Ethereum contract as though it's an asset that has this non-fungible quality. Can you talk to this and how it could be essential to this new component of the digital cipher revolution?
I think the biggest thing that comes out of Ethereum and Vitalik and that whole world is that company and the token and the blockchain for Ethereum will continually change and adapt. So anybody thinking that they are inventing or they're investing in a Ethereum killer is really smoking a pipe dream, if you ask. Vitalik will always be 10 steps ahead. And the developers there see what's coming down the pike. The moment they hear, oh, this company has a good idea that's going to beat what you do, they're instantly already working on an idea to make it 10 times better. So it really is, in that world where smart contracts are involved and the ERC-20 tokens, the business is being created on top of a blockchain, that will continually evolve, continually change. And as soon as you think a new technology is going to take out Ethereum, Ethereum's going to blow by it and vice versa. So that's the beauty of a free market in this type of world that is just beginning, is that it really pushes Ethereum to do more. It pushes EOS to do more. It pushes other people challenging that space to do more. And then once they feel comfortable, that's when you start losing, because you can never feel comfortable in that space, because it really is an evolving technology. It's an evolving business platform that has to continue to change, continue to evolve. So yes, I think the ERC-721 tokens and the ERC-20 tokens and all that stuff, innovation each time it leapfrogs other attempts at out-innovating it. So yeah, it's exciting. I love the fact that Vitalik and his group of programmers, which are amazing guys, supposedly, I haven't met any of them, but they're always thinking, 20 steps ahead, who's going to take us out as the leader, and then what can we do to get 20 times ahead of them again? So I think that's what's happening right now, for example, with EOS coming on to, I think they have a big moment this summer, but it's an untested technology, and it's bound to have as many problems or more than Ethereum had at the beginning. So people really need to stand back and say, okay, which technologies are working, which are doing well, which are kind of, you know, hopes to beat the ongoing standards, and then what is the ongoing standard going to do to beat the new guy? So it makes investing hard because you're going to see just flows of money sloshing one way and the other. I think we're seeing that in Ethereum and EOS.
Let's talk again in 2018.
Sounds good.